EirGrid, the national electricity grid operator, has reissued an amber alert on the electricity market for the second day in a row, indicating that a squeeze on power supplies is edging closer. The operator last evening said that low wind, unexpected power plant shutdowns and limited imports meant that supplies were tight, and this morning the reason given for the alert is a generation shortfall in Ireland. Dr. Muireann Lynch, Senior Research Officer at the ESRI, knows a little bit about this sort of thing. She joins us on the line now. A series of unfortunate events, it would seem. Do you understand or do you know where the generation shortfall has occurred?
Yeah, so it certainly is unusual to see these alerts for this time of year. And for it to happen this time of year, it's usually, as you say, because of a series of unfortunate events. When it comes to electricity power plants, there are two types of outages we talk about. One is scheduled outages. So this is where you have decided that you will be offline for a certain period of time. You'll be unavailable to generate electricity. And that's usually in order for you to perform maintenance on your unit. Now, scheduled outages usually tend to occur in the summer because that's when demand is low. However, the other type of outage is what we call a forced outage. And a forced outage is one that you were not anticipating. So something went wrong, something broke. And that's when we are seeing these kind of shortfalls in generation. That's kind of what's behind it on this occasion. Sometimes some units just don't work. Same way, sometimes we go outside, we get into our car in the morning and it just doesn't switch on for whatever reason.
And do you know how close we are to this being critical?
Not really. Nobody ever knows. All you ever know is kind of probabilistically, because there are lots of things we can't know for sure. So what exactly will happen to demand, what exactly will happen to supply, what exactly will happen to the interconnectors. So it's not something that you can kind of easily quantify. You can only put a probability on it. But what the type of alert that has been issued today, what it means is it's not that there is any danger of demand necessarily exceeding supply. What it's saying is we like to have a certain amount of a buffer, really, a little bit of extra supply available in order to deal with all these contingencies. And what it means is that buffer is not as high as we would like under an optimal scenario. So we're not yet at the point where we're kind of anticipating blackouts or anything, but what we're saying is our reserve levels are not as high as we'd like, and there are other things that particularly large energy users can do in order to maybe reduce demand or have some potential for supply to come online. So that's all. It's more about being ready and it's not so much about we would anticipate any blackouts necessarily.
Okay. So we should discuss what it is that we can do to reduce demand. But before we do, in the hypothetical situation, indeed in the increasingly probable situation that demand exceeds supply, do you understand what happens? What does the ESB do?
Well, the ESB doesn't exactly do anything because ESB is, they have a generation company, they have a supply company, that kind of thing. But the way it works in general is we dispatch our generation from kind of cheapest to most expensive until we have enough generation to meet the demand. In the hypothetical situation where you simply do not have enough supply to meet demand, and that's assuming that you've got all the generators on that you can and you're importing as much over the interconnectors as you can, then in the absolute last case scenario, you would have some demand just disconnected. So it is kind of at least conceivable that blackouts could happen as an absolute last resort in order to balance supply and demand. That's how it works.
We asked EirGrid and ESB about this morning in order to get a little bit of clarity on it ourselves. They call it a demand reduction instruction, and one can be issued by EirGrid to ESB networks to reduce electricity demand in a safe and controlled, fair manner. Such action, they say, may be required to secure the electricity system as a whole. And what we understand is that they give priority to customers such as hospitals, water supplies, emergency services and so on, but that in the event that they had to do this, they told us this morning that any decision on the location of an electricity curtailment would be decided on the day with a view to how much demand they're required to reduce and that it would be made in a fair and equitable manner, but that basically in an area in which there were hopefully no hospitals or water supplies or emergency services, the electricity would just be turned off. And it is a lottery as to which area it would be that would be chosen for something like this to happen. But do you think that that is a scenario that we're likely to be able to avoid, Wern?
Unfortunately, it's impossible to say. The way the market is set up is we have kind of contracts and payments in place in order to make sure that we have enough generation on the system to meet demand. And I want to be very clear here, it's conventional generation we're talking about here. This has nothing to do with wind. This has nothing to do with solar. This has nothing to do with us being stupid and trying to expect the wind to blow when it won't blow. It's nothing to do with that. We have an electricity market in place which is supposed to make sure that there won't be a situation where the demand exceeds the supply. However, for a number of reasons, and to be perfectly honest, I don't quite understand them myself. It's something we're trying to look into. For a number of reasons, some of the units that were supposed to show up by this winter didn't show up. So we are facing a supply shortfall, and the probability of the demand exceeding the supply at any point, the reason we can't say that is because in this situation, wind could actually end up helping us out. We will certainly have some times over the winter when demand is very high. That happens every single year. If demand is very high at a time when it happens to be windy, then maybe we'll get away with the fact that we don't have enough generation on the system. If, however, demand is very high at a time when there's not much wind, then that's when we might see these crunches.
So until we get more supply on stream, demand reduction is going to be the key message here, isn't it? Of all of the possible things that can be done, where do you think we should be starting?
Well, the thing about demand reduction in energy, we've been talking about it for a while now. There's a lot of things we can do. When it comes to electricity, it's not so much about what you do, but it's also about when you do it. So if there is a situation where demand might exceed supply, it's going to happen at, obviously, a system peak time where there's a lot of demand across the whole system. So one of the things households can do is try to shift their usage away from those peak hours, which is typically between 5 and 7 o'clock in the evening, particularly in the winter. So anyone who has a smart meter could go onto a smart tariff by getting onto their supply company. And what this means is that their electricity usage would be very expensive between 5 and 7, which maybe isn't good news. But the good news is there are other times of the day when your electricity tariff is much cheaper. So if you are in a position to be able to shift your usage away from that high period, then you can actually save money. It does mean things like you load up the dishwasher at 6:30 after dinner maybe, but you don't turn it on yet. You wait until you're out of that peak zone. Those small changes can actually make a difference if they happen at the right time. It's not much good all of us trying to reduce our usage at 11 o'clock at night when we're going to bed and when the wind is very high. But if we can reduce our electricity usage at those peak times, that could really help.
Away from households, what about the energy-hungry industries like data centres that have their own generating capacity? At these peak times between 5 and 7, might it be fair for us to ask them, or for Airgrid to ask them, to take care of their own electricity, to generate their own electricity from their diesel generators so that Airgrid can look after everybody else?
Yeah, so I mean, before we came on air here, I actually looked back over Airgrid's generation capacity statements. They produce one every year. The first time data centres were mentioned as a possible concern and as a source of high demand growth was in 2016. So we've known about this for 6.5 years. Data centres represent a large and growing proportion of our electricity demand, it's true. And a lot of them do have their own generation, as you say. I think it's important to point out we knew they were coming. We didn't do anything to stop them, and we didn't get our own market to necessarily deliver the capacity we needed. Data centres do have some ability not just to produce their own electricity, but also to reduce their demand at particular times or in general. And these are all initiatives that we certainly should be incentivising. And I think we will see more of that over this winter. But one of the big problems is, you know, a lot of, even if we have announced kind of like, even if we have a moratorium on new grid connections, there's still an awful lot of data centers that have planning permission, that have grid connections, that are still coming online. So we still have the data centres we already have and those in the pipeline, and we just have to try to find a way to deal with that.
But the data centres could do their equivalent of putting on the tumble dryer or the dishwasher late at night rather than between 5 and 7, and also could give some electricity back to the grid, so to speak, by using their own generators.
Yeah, now they're a bit more constrained in that kind of a data centre is basically just like a big room of computers, and you can't really, you know, there is some extent to which they can kind of change when they cool their data centres and stuff, so they can provide some demand response. But one of the big things about data centres is they always are on, because you kind of turn them off, then suddenly Netflix doesn't work anymore, and no one's going to be particularly happy with that. So they are constrained, but certainly they need to be incentivized to do whatever they can to minimize their impact on the grid, because they are having a large impact. There's no doubt about it.
Let me just bring you back finally to the alternate sources of supply. You say that the mobile generators have inexplicably not as yet turned up. What about things like the Celtic interconnector to France? When are we going to be able to benefit from that?
Not this winter, and certainly not, I'm not even sure if it's due to come online by next winter. It's really big. Okay. It's bigger than the two existing interconnectors we have. So once we have it, it'll be kind of a very large infeed. Even from a technical point of view, we're going to have to think about how we manage it. But unfortunately, this winter, we're not really going to be able to build anything in time to help us. It looks like it's going to be demand-side measures that we're going to have to employ.
Okay, no extra supply, so we have to reduce demand ourselves. Muireann Lynch, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. Coming up after this break, we're going to be talking to the heroic young Garda who rescued a drowning man in the River Liffey at the weekend.